Thieves and robbers. We don't like them, do we? I prepared this sermon earlier in the week, not knowing what was going to take place Friday night, that our air conditioners would be stolen. It's interesting because this next discipline we're talking about the disciplines that we need to train ourselves for the purpose of godliness, as stated in 1 Timothy 4:7. For the purpose of godliness. And these disciplines, we've been talking about worship the last several weeks. We talk about Bible study, Bible reading. Prayer is certainly one of those things that we're to work on, to develop disciplines within us that help us pursue godliness, that lead us to godliness. Because the truth is, God doesn't want us to just be the same. He doesn't say, okay, I've saved you, now just carry on with whatever you're doing, just have a great time, just I'll see you later. He doesn't do that. He says, now, I've called you, I've sanctified you, I've set you apart, live like it. Grow in maturity. And that's what those disciplines are for. This discipline that we're going to talk about today, actually for the next couple weeks, I've broken it up into two different parts, is stewardship. Does anybody find that strange or ironic or maybe God-sent? But stewardship, but if you're, I can almost see people going, uh-oh, and you're protecting your wallet. You've got your hand over, you're going, oh, up, he's after my money, after my... Listen, today we're going to talk about how we're to be good stewards of time. Okay? We'll hit you about the money next week. But as I began to, this morning I was going back over this sermon, just some of you know, but may not know, but I early in the week I began to formulate the sermon, get it on paper, and then I just kind of let it, as I told the ladies in the office, I let it marinate. It just kind of has to simmer and just kind of let the flavors marry and join and just get good. And a lot of times what I have written on Tuesday or Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday even sometimes doesn't look at all what it looks like on Sunday. Things change and it goes through. So even this morning as I'm sitting there in my office just kind of going back over my sermon just to make sure I've got it, the flow and everything right, I was thinking stewardship and how, you know what, sometimes it's easy for us, in light of what happened this weekend, it's easy for us to say, those sorry low-down thieves come and stole the air conditioners from God's house. They're robbing God. They're stealing from God. Shame on them. It's easy for us to say that. But what about, what do we do with the time that God has given us? Sometimes I think we may be guilty of robbing God. And it's easy for us to do, you know, the pot calling the kettle black. It's easy for us, to be more scriptural, it's easy for us to point out the speck in somebody else's eye when we got this plank sticking out of our eye, right? Yes, those thieves and robbers, they stole from God. They stole from the tithes and offerings that we had brought to purchase those items to give to God and all that. Yes, they did that. But sometimes I wonder if we're not as guilty of robbing God with our time. Godliness is the result of a disciplined spiritual life. But at the heart of a disciplined life, I believe, is the discipline of time. Because if you don't set the time aside to have Bible study, if you don't set the time aside to have prayer, if you don't set the time aside to raise a family and live honorably, if you don't set the time aside to do that, those things aren't going to happen. So I believe time is really kind of at the foundational level of that. And if we're going to move towards godliness, which is the purpose of the 1 Timothy 4:7 passage, then we have to consider the use of our time as a spiritual discipline. Today, you know, every good preacher, and I'm not claiming to be a good one, but the good ones have 3-point sermon, right? Yes. Okay. Well, since I'm not quite good yet, I've got a 10-point sermon for you today. But just get ready. If you have a pen and paper, you may want to write some things down, because we're going to kind of fly through some of these things. But I believe there are 10 biblical reasons for using the time God gave us and to use it wisely. Many of these things came from a sermon preached by Jonathan Edwards entitled "The Preciousness of Time and the Importance of Redeeming It." Okay? Number one. Because the days are evil. We're to be good stewards of the time because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16. That passage is in your bulletin. It says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil." Are the days evil? Hello, we've been talking about that all morning, right? The days are evil. We've been victim of that, or whatever you have you want to say. We've seen that firsthand here just in our facility. The days are evil. It's not just here. You walk down the road any distance, you go to any store, anywhere, you go to any business, you go driving down your car, you look at the billboards. Listen, the days are evil. The days are evil. The writer Paul, when he was writing this, he was possibly referring to the fierce persecution that the church at Ephesus was going through right here. And that may very well be, but even without persecution, the world we live in is not conducive to using time wisely either, especially for the purpose of godliness. These time thieves, I'll call them, they range from high-tech stuff, you know, the iPhones, the spending time. You people walk around like this now, it seems like, and texting and driving. Yes. Man, don't do that, but it happens. You can see, you see the guy that's driving real bad in front of you, you get up there beside him and they're texting like this. High-tech stuff all the way to socially acceptable preoccupations, the simple, idle, or unchecked thoughts. All of those things are time thieves. They steal the time that we could be using for good, and it becomes just this other stuff. It's a distraction. It's a thief. It steals time. Our minds often guide us down the slippery slope of wasted time, right? We begin to thinking about things, and it just kind of time carries away. Have you ever been involved in something, you just look up and go, "Oh my, where has the time gone?" That's why we're told in Colossians 3, verse 2, to set our minds on things above. I believe without a disciplined, focused thought life, our bodies will follow suit, and the evil of the days will keep us from godliness. Point number two. We need to become good stewards of our time because it prepares us for eternity. We must prepare for eternity in time. And it's a weird concept, because we have a limited amount of time to prepare for a time when there is no time. We have a limited amount of time to prepare for the time when there is no time. Okay? All of eternity. And when time has run out, if you've not prepared, Scripture is clear on what happens next. There will be no time to do it after time ends. And we never know when that time is. Right? When I think about small things guiding big things, and I think a brief period of time here on this earth guiding the big thing, big time of all of eternity, I think of like a ship and or the tongue. You know how James talks about the tongue, it's like a rudder of a ship. The small rudder of a ship guides this great big vessel, this ocean-going cargo liner or whatever, this big old ship guided by this little thing here. And that's kind of the way this time that we have here on this earth is. It's to guide us towards all of eternity. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. And again, if you're taking notes, just be ready to write, because we're going through. 2 Corinthians 6, 2 says, "Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. I want to tell you this morning that if your future is uncertain or if it's unsettled, now is the time to settle that. And as soon as I'm through speaking and spilling all this stuff out to you, we're going to have a time where you can respond and you can settle that. I'd be glad to pray with you. Rebecca will be here after a while, and if you want to speak with her, Jonathan will be available if you're maybe a youth or something like that. I haven't even spoke with him. I'm sure he's good with that. But there are people here that can help you, that can guide you, that can pray with you, that can walk through Scripture with you. It prepares us for eternity. Number three, we need to be good stewards of our time because time is short. The more scarce something is, the more valuable it is. You know that? Why are gold and diamonds so valuable? Because they're hard to come by. They're scarce. If they were if diamonds were as easy as walking on the beach and picking up pebbles, they would have no value. They're valuable because they're scarce. Time is scarce. Time would never be so precious if we never died, would it? If we were guaranteed 1,000 years here on this earth, time would not be so precious. I mean, it's just kind of out there. Even if we have decades left here on this earth, okay? Some of us are young, and we never know. Of course, you know, age doesn't really mean a whole lot. But even if we had decades left here on this earth, James 4, verse 14 says, "You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." Even the longest life is brief in light of eternity. However much time you have left to develop a Christian Christ-likeness, it isn't much. Use your time well. Use it well. Keep those other distractions at a minimum. Keep them pushed aside. Work on those things that are going to lead us towards godliness, right? And it takes time. It takes a disciplined use of time to make that happen. Time, number four, time is passing. Time is passing. Not only is time short, what does remain is often fleeting. It's hard to, you can't catch it. We say things like, we're saving time. Right? We drive fast enough, we're saving time. We're buying time. Right? You ever said that? I've said that. I'm buying time. It really means I'm procrastinating. I'm buying time. We say things like, I'm making up time. That's when you drive even faster. I've been behind time. I've been lazy. I've procrastinated. I'm behind. Now I've got to make up time. Right? The truth is, those ideas are just illusions, for time is always passing. Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. You know, somebody could use that and make a whole show out of that or something, couldn't they? Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives. They just keep trickling, keep trickling, keep trickling. We don't know how much sand we have on the top. We do know that someday that hourglass is going to run out of sand, though. And what we've done in that time matters. It matters. Just ask some of our older folks, okay? They'll tell you that time seems to speed up the closer you get towards the end of it. If we don't discipline our use of time now for the purpose of godliness, it's not going to get easier later on. People say, well, this is my time to do this now, and someday I will get serious about my faith. I'll get serious about studying the Bible. One of these days, when I'm through with all this other stuff, I'm going to say, I'm going to read the Bible from cover to cover. One of these days, I'm going to get involved in a ministry. With that attitude, those days will never come. Because time will catch up. Time is against us in that respect. Number five, the remaining time is uncertain. And some of these are kind of repetitive, but they're, if I've repeated some or maybe changed it, modified it, it's because I believe it's really important. Time. The remaining time is uncertain. Not only is time short and passing, we really don't know how short it is. Proverbs 27, verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." How many of you know what's going to happen to you tomorrow? We can make plans. But I will tell you, there are thousands of people who will enter eternity today that had no idea yesterday what would happen. Many of those are even younger than you. I don't care how old you are. Whether you're in your 70s, 80s, 90s, or you're in your teens or even younger, there's somebody younger than you that's going to meet all of eternity today. Age is not the determining factor. And I think, had they known that this would be their last day, their use of time would have been far more important to them, right? No one is guaranteed tomorrow. Number six, time lost cannot be regained. You can't make up time. You really can't. You can lose many things over and still recover. You can go through a bankruptcy and recover, get back on your feet. You can go through a loss. You know, look at Job's life. He went through massive losses, and he was restored. He gained that back. The Lord gave it to him. He gave it to him, but it was gained back to him. You can go through things. You can go through losses. We're going to recover from losing three air conditioning units. We're going to recover from that. We're going to get that back. Time is not one of those things. When time is gone, when time slips by, you can't get it back. It's gone forever. John 9, verse 4 says, "As long as it is today, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." We're supposed to work now. You may be sitting here, and you may be thinking about the time that you've wasted. You may be thinking about the years and up till now, and you may have grief and regret even over that. I want to tell you something. Today is the day when you decide, this time is God's time. I'm not going to waste it any longer. Don't get hung up on that grief and that loss. Focus on the time you have left and determine to make the best use of it. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, Paul writes, very familiar verse, forgetting what is behind me and straining for what is ahead, I press on toward the goal, to win the prize for that which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You're not going to gain time back. You're not going to get time back. You're not going to make up time dwelling on that stuff. Press on toward the goal for which Christ has called you heavenward. We must discipline ourselves now. If we don't do it now, it's just not going to happen. Number seven. You see how fast we're going through these things? Number seven. Now, y'all, I might be creating an expectation that all my sermons are going to be 10-point sermons. Maybe not. You'll have to come back next week and find out. Number seven, you are accountable to God for your time. Romans 14, verse 2 says, "So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God." And that doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. All of us, every one of us will give an account to God. We'll stand before Him someday. Hebrews 5, verse 12 says, in fact, you know, the writer of Hebrews was writing to some people like maybe some of us, okay, that have not been making best use of their time, that have not been growing in godliness, that have not been disciplining themselves for the purpose of godliness. And he writes, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Paul is is rebuking them. He's saying, you ought to be doing better. You ought to have been growing. You ought to be improving in godliness. You ought to be becoming more Christ-like. But you're not. You're still on baby food, milk. You ought to be eating filet mignon and steak and that other stuff. Good stuff. Not blended up apples. Or spinach and squash. They make some weird mixes for baby food, don't they? But he said, you need to be growing. You need to be mature. You need to be moving from the childlike things, the childlike faith, to a mature faith. How do we do that? I believe we have to start with our use of our time. Every hour we wait to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness is another hour we will have to give an account for. Don't delay. Don't delay any longer. Right now is the time. Right now is the time when you say, from this moment on, with the help of the Holy Spirit, because I'm not good at it by myself, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I vow to make use of my time in a more godly manner. Today's the day for that, y'all. Number 8, time is so easily lost. Proverbs 26, verses 13 and 14 say, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. Y'all know what a sluggard is? That's a lazy bum. There's an emergency. There's a big thing. There's an urgent matter at hand. And the sluggard says, I'll do it tomorrow. Just kind of rolls over in bed, pulls the cover over his head maybe. Have anybody ever done that? Not now. The world doesn't exist to me right now. And that's what the sluggard does. That's what the lazy person does. And we're not to be that. We're not to be lazy. Some might say, well, if I discipline my time for the purpose of godliness, then I might miss out some interesting things. Or I might become so busy. I might become so busy I won't get enough rest. I need my sleep. I need my beauty sleep. So I'll just roll over. I'll just roll over and go back to bed. Sometimes we say that. Sometimes we say that, I know the church, I know there's a work day, but you know what? I've been working all week. And this is my time. This is me time. And I'm not trying to, I don't want anybody to feel guilty about stuff. If you do, that's maybe God telling you that. But whatever that is, it could be, I don't want to read my Bible today. I don't want to spend time in prayer today. This is my time. This is me time. I need something for me. I want to go shopping. I want to go mess in the shop. I want to go for a drive. I want to go, whatever it is. Listen, if we're not using our time wisely, if we're saying, but those things aren't important to me. This is me. I want to do what's best for me. I want to just roll over in my bed, pull the covers over my head, and pretend it doesn't exist. Number 9, we value time at death. As one who is out of money values it most when it's gone, so we at death value the time most when it's gone. If you got lots of money, does anybody in here have that problem? Okay. I was going to say, if you do, there's 3 air conditioners. if you value money when money is not there, you value it, right? It's important to you. If you have a little bit of money and you have to live for the next week or 2 weeks or month on that little bit, it becomes valuable to you. You don't waste it. You don't just frivolously toss it away and cast it to everybody that wants it, because a lot of people want it, right? Some people want it honestly. Some people want it dishonestly, but they want it and they want to try to get it from you. And if you're not careful, if you unwisely dole that out right and left, You don't do that because you value the money, right? The same is true with our time. You have a certain amount of time. And if you're just frivolously giving your time, well, this, I'm doing this. It just makes me feel good. It doesn't build the kingdom. It doesn't preach the gospel. It doesn't lead anybody towards Christ. It's just fun. And I'm not preaching against having entertainment. I'm not preaching against enjoying life. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is we need to be good stewards of our time. We don't need to waste time. Spend time on those things that have no significance. Because time is precious. It's valuable. And if we really understood how little time we have, we would understand how valuable that time is. If you suddenly realized you had no more time, if today, if I'm speaking right now, I don't even know what time it is. It's 11:37. If you found out that at 11:45, that was it for you, you're done. Okay? If that was the case and you knew that and you could know that, would you have any regrets for how you spent your time? In the past or even spending it now? The way you have used your time can be a great comfort to you in that last hour too. Right? A lot of times we can look back over our life in that last hour, it may be a decade long, for some. For some it may be a flash. But if we look back, it can be a comfort sometimes because we could think, you know what? I have run the good race. I've fought the good fight, as Paul was saying in his last hour. We look back and say, I've done what God has sent me to do. I've accomplished things for the name of Jesus Christ that He gave me the power and the initiative to accomplish. I have done things. I've raised my family well. I have taught my children how to pray. I have taught my children how to study the Bible. I have spent precious time with my spouse, building that relationship. I have repaired broken relationships. I have restored. Those things can be a great comfort if you look back. On the other hand, in that last hour, if you're going back, you may have many regrets if you have not taken care of those things. If you've not taken the time, valuable, precious time, right, to go and do those things that honor and please God, you may have regrets. And I don't want you to have regrets. God doesn't want you to have regrets. Number 10. Time is important because of time's value in eternity. I want to read a part of a little story to you. We see how valuable time is in the story of Luke chapter 16. This is Lazarus and the beggar. And it says this in verse 22. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus, the beggar, by his side. And he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue because I'm in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things while Lazarus received bad things. Now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And Lazarus goes and he says, well, okay, if I can't be helped, then at least send him to my family. Because they're running out of time. I recognize the value. I understand that I only had a certain amount of time. They're running out of time. They need to know. He valued time. We value time and eternity. What value would those who, like this man, who lost all opportunity for eternal life, he found himself in eternal death, because that's the two options, eternal life or eternal death. Okay. What value would he place on time we have now? If he could go back, what would he do? He would value that time and he would make some better decisions. He would live right. Many people have learned the proper value of time only by experience, like the story of the rich man. They learned by experience, oh my goodness, I did not make good use of my time. Let us learn it by encountering the Word, by the truth of the living Word, and discipline our time for the purpose of godliness. Let us really consider time and consider how God would want us to be good stewards of our time. Maybe you've heard this message this morning. And maybe you've determined that you'll respond to the call of Christ and to follow Him. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're convicted and you said, you know what? I understand that the time is short. Matter of fact, if you pick up the paper, you can read about people every day that had no idea today was going to be their last. And maybe you understand that, you realize that, and you say, you know what? Today, for the very first time, I realize that I've got a limited amount of time. And the choices I make in this limited amount of time affect where I will spend all of eternity. And maybe you're saying to yourself, I want to be in heaven. I want to be with Christ. And maybe the Spirit is speaking to you and is convicting you. And my encouragement to you would be to respond to that. He's waiting for you. He's calling you. Maybe you've heard this message and you've determined that you're through wasting time. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have given yourself to Him. You call Him your Lord and your Savior, but you look back and you say, you know what, but I haven't been living like it. I haven't been honoring Him with my time. I've been spending time and wasting time and I'm not building things of eternal value and I'm just squandering stuff. And I understand now that time is precious, and today I commit my time to my God. Maybe that's you. Whatever you've heard from the Lord today, in the same train of thought as the writer of Hebrews said, respond to Him while it is still called today. Because there's going to come a day when today is done and there will be no tomorrow on this earth. We're going to be here at the front. We're going to sing a song. The altar is open. My encouragement to you would be this. As we close out this time of worship, this service time, this time is valuable. Use it wisely. Use this time wisely. If the Spirit is speaking to you and you are hearing that Spirit in your voice, in your heart, respond. Respond. Respond today. I'm here. Rebecca will be here. Jonathan will be available. If you want to speak with him, you just tap him on the shoulder. Whatever you need. The altar is open. This is your time. Use it wisely as we stand and we sing.